Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, dear Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Not only is this sometimes referred to as Low Sunday, but it's sometimes also referred to as Thomas Sunday, because on this day we always hear about Thomas. Poor Thomas, he's been given that terrible name, Doubting Thomas. And yet he, in other places in the gospel, expresses such faith in Jesus. I look at him and I think, I'm very much like Thomas. I don't want to be left out. I want to experience what other people have experienced. Have you ever felt like that when you have friends who start talking about a movie that they've gone to and you say, "Why didn't you invite me? We didn't think you'd like it, so we didn't even tell you about it." How do you feel if that happens? You feel really left out. You kind of feel unloved. And I think that's how Thomas must have felt. He's out, we don't know why. And he comes back, and the rest of them are saying, "We have seen the Lord." And his response is, "Well, why didn't I have the chance? Why couldn't Jesus have waited until they were all gathered there and appeared to all of them at once?" And I think the reason that we have this story is because Thomas is an example of all of us who don't have the ability to see the risen Jesus face to face. He did have this opportunity when Jesus showed up a week afterward and showed him his hands, showed him his side. And Thomas, now having the same experience as the rest, was able to say, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "So you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen." Over the next few weeks, we're going to be reading from 1 John. There's a debate over whether 1 John was written by the same author of the Gospel of John, but it doesn't really matter. It does follow some of the same themes. It is a lovely little treatise. There are some who say it's not a letter because it doesn't have the form of a letter. Maybe it's an essay, but whatever it is short and it is beautiful. And so we begin our reading of 1 John today. And it begins, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." What is being testified to is something that really happened. They have seen risen Lord. The disciples have seen. The individual writing this letter is saying, what I'm telling you is based on seeing and hearing and touching, the experience of the senses, that Jesus' resurrection and appearance is not a hallucination. It is based on what we have seen and heard and touched. It says this life was revealed and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, you who have not seen or touched or heard Jesus. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And what does that mean, so that our joy may be complete? So that others will come to believe, as the writer of 1 John has come to believe, and share in that same fellowship, that same joy of relationship with Jesus, the risen Christ, and with the Father. And he makes it very clear, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. You just about mark it. This is a message that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We've heard this over and over again, especially during Advent. God is light, that Christ is our light. And here he's making it very plain that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And then he talks about the difference between us and God. Because in God there is no darkness, but is there darkness in us? And that's what he addresses next. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. So if we say that we have no darkness in us, we are liars. Because we do have that darkness of sin. It says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, if we confess that we have that darkness and that we are in need of the light, if we walk in that light, confessing our sin, asking for forgiveness, showing our need for a Savior, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we acknowledge our sin and acknowledge our need for a Savior, Jesus, our Savior, cleanses us from our sin. He has done so with his own blood. He reiterates this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we think that we are completely righteous, if we think we can save ourselves, if we think we have no need of a Savior, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He repeats, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. So think about that. He's talking about God being all light. In God there is no darkness. In us there is darkness. And the need to acknowledge that darkness of sin, to acknowledge that we are lacking, to confess our sin, to believe in God's forgiveness of sin, and then to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he begins the next chapter. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate. Someone who stands by our side like in a court of law. Jesus is rather like a lawyer who is going to take on our case. So if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What powerful words these are in this little tiny book. It is so easy to listen to a reading and not let its words penetrate into our hearts. But here, these words are so profound. Our need to confess our sin, our need to believe that God forgives our sin, our need to believe that we need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, the only one who can save us. And he will cleanse us of our sins. And we will have fellowship with one another. And this is written for those of us who, unlike Thomas and the disciples, will not see the risen Christ appear to us. We will not be able to touch the nail marks in his hands or the wound in his side. But we believe without seeing. We believe based on the testimony of those who did see and did hear and did touch. And if you don't believe, what's your excuse for your lack of belief? Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, We Walk by Faith, number 635.
Thank you.
faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those